Hey there, B-Siders. Thanks for joining me again for the bonus tracks. You guys are like the movie fans who stay till after the credits to see if there's a bonus scene. And guess what? You're in luck. Bonus material aplenty. Ephesians 5 was very difficult to cover in short order because there are a lot of big topics with no small controversy. Marriage, alcohol, cussing, sex, it's all here. So this one is still PG-13. Parents, listen first, please. Kids, time to hit pause. Now, it is vital with all of these tough topics to keep the verses in context. There is great danger in separating the directives for living right in chapter 5 from the grace in chapter 2. Grace comes first. If it doesn't, Ephesians 5 is a recipe for hypocrisy and judgmentalism. Don't do it. This is not a set of standards by which you judge how good a Christian you are or others are. All of this is your response to God's grace, in humility, in gratitude. It is the call to walk worthy of the grace already given. You are not saved by works. It is grace alone. And the further context is right here in verse 2. Walk in the way of love. This chapter is not how to be a better Christian. It's how to love. Walk in light, walk in love. So, that said, now we can hit the tough verses with the right balance. The first one is in verse 3. But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. Like I said on side A, the issue here is not sex, it's sex without morals. Now to understand this one, you also need the context of Ephesus. Ephesus was home to the Temple of Diana, the pride of every Ephesian. It was a pagan temple, and worship included temple prostitution. What we call human trafficking, they called worship. And it was right there at the heart of their culture. So when Paul told them not even a hint, he was calling them to set themselves apart. That's called holiness. And this is an essential part of walking in love. Sex without morals destroys love. It messes with the way we understand love because it's selfish. It turns pleasure into an idol. This isn't like other sins. Sex has a connection to the soul that's powerful for good or powerful for evil. It can strengthen a good marriage or it can destroy a lost soul. It's a lot like fire. As a fire is meant for the fireplace, sex is meant for marriage. Now, fire still burns just the same outside the fireplace, and you can light the rafters of your house on fire if you choose. They burn well, but you'll destroy your home. Immoral sex burns just fine, but it always destroys. That includes pornography. Porn is addictive and destructive to the soul. If you're in it, get out. Listen, this is not a guilt trip. This is a rescue mission. God's grace is reaching out to save you. Our whole society is caught up in it, like it's normal. It was the same in Ephesus, and God called them out, and He calls us out. Find a friend you can trust. Confess your sins regularly. Be honest with each other. Pray and find healing. God heals broken souls. Now, there's also an important balance here. Sometimes we put so much focus on how bad sexual immorality is that we end up associating all sex with a sense of guilt, and that can creep into marriage, especially for newlyweds. That is dangerous. Sex in marriage is clean and holy, and it's all good. No guilt. Married sex is not sinful at all. In past centuries, the church had a history of getting a little too involved here, deciding what is okay and isn't okay for husband and wife in bed. None of those restrictions are in the Bible, so let go of the guilt trip and enjoy the gift that God gave you. Don't get weird. More importantly, don't get selfish. Sex is an expression of love. Love is about sacrifice for the sake of the other person. That's why waiting for marriage is such a big deal. It's the love that sacrifices self and waits, not just for your sake, but for your future spouse. Now, if you got any of that wrong in the past, make the change now and get it right. Paul reminds us that we all were once darkness, but now we are light in the Lord. Live as children of light.